Good morning. It's good to see each one here this morning. We have a few visitors with us today. We want you to know we are honored by you being here. We are grateful that you have come to worship with us today, and we hope that you will come back at every opportunity that you have. One other mention I did want to make before we jump into the lesson this morning, and that is that Friday night we will be hosting the youth devotional at our house. We have had a couple of these now, and we've had a good turnout for them. And we hope that you will make your plans to be there on Friday night at 6 o'clock or whenever you can get there. We recognize sometimes it's a little bit of a drive coming off of work, but we've had good studies. We had nearly 30 there the last time, and this is for the parents as well, not just for the kids. So parents, plan to come and spend a little time visiting and studying and enjoying one another's company, and we'll have a good night on Friday night. It is the first Sunday of the month. Our theme for this year has been being devoted to a deeper love for Jesus. And so in accordance with our theme, as we have done each of the first Sundays of the month this year, we are going to be dealing with a topic this morning that stems from the idea of loving Jesus more. And we've talked about loving Him more in many, many different ways as we've gone through the course of this year. This morning I want us to look at it from maybe a slightly different perspective. And that is loving Jesus more as a leader. You know, when you think about leaders, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and they lead in many different areas. And over the course of history, there have been many different kinds of leaders that people have talked about or that they have looked up to or respected or written books about and songs about and this, that, and the other. They might be leaders who were great military leaders of armies and of nations. They might be great civil leaders who helped to promote change and who helped bring things to a place where they were closer to what they needed to be by the things that they did in society around them. They might be leaders within families or leaders within governments. They might just simply be leaders in the workplace among their co-workers. There are all different kinds of leaders. And there are also good leaders and bad leaders. But this morning I want us to examine the greatest leader of all. And that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our thoughts concerning Jesus this morning, we need to understand that when it comes to leaders, there are some things that are necessary in order for a leader to have a position of leadership. Number one, before there can be leadership, there first has to be someone who is going to lead. Have you ever been in a group of people and there's something that needs to be done, but there's obviously the need for a leader, and there's six or eight people sitting around in a circle and they're all looking at one another saying, "Well, who's going to lead this up? Are you going to do it? I don't want to do it." And nothing ever gets done. Before there can be leadership, there has to be someone who is willing to lead, someone who is able to lead in a certain situation. But not only does it require someone to lead, it also requires someone to follow. You know, I've often seen groups of kids getting ready to play Follow the Leader or Simon Says. And you know what the biggest argument is that breaks out? Who's going to be the leader? Because everybody wants to be the one to give the directions, and everybody wants to be the one to tell everybody else what to do, and nobody wants to follow. Before there can be leadership, there doesn't just have to be someone to lead, there's got to be someone that's willing to follow the leader. In the third place, if there is going to be leadership, there has to be a goal or a destination to achieve. There's got to be something that needs to be done. You know what happens when you have a leader who has no goals to achieve? It's kind of an empty throne, isn't it? If there is a leader with nothing to do, with no objectives to accomplish, with no goals to fulfill, he's not really leading anywhere, is he? He just simply has a title in place. But you know, in the fourth aspect, when it comes to leadership, you don't just need someone to lead, someone to follow, and a goal to achieve, but there's also obstacles that are going to need to be overcome. When there are choices and decisions that need to be made, when there is something that has been stuck in the path, you need someone to lead to get around the obstacles, or to go over the obstacles, or to remove the obstacles, whatever the case might be. But leadership also requires obstacles to overcome. When we think of Jesus, you think of the passage that was read for us a few moments ago by Bradley in Psalm 23, and we love that particular psalm. But you know, in the midst of there, twice it talks about the idea of leading. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't it interesting that in John chapter 10, Jesus describes Himself as the good shepherd, as the one who leads His sheep. Jesus describes Himself as a leader, as one who is responsible for leading His people, and that His people are responsible for following Him. So what do we see in Jesus as a leader? What type of style, what approach does Jesus take when it comes to leadership? Because as we've already talked about, there are many different kinds of leaders. Some good, some bad. In the ways that they approach things and in the ways that they lay things out for the people who are following them or are supposed to be following them. How does Jesus serve as a leader for us? I want you to notice three different ways that Jesus leads His people this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, when it comes to understanding and loving Jesus more as a leader, we need to understand that Jesus leads first and foremost by example. Jesus leads by example. When you turn over to the book of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, there Peter is writing about the things that Jesus does for us and that He's done for us. And he's talking about specifically in chapter 2 the importance of being submissive, the importance of being those who listen to the authorities that are over us and are obedient to them as we are able. But he makes a statement in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 21. He says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps." Peter says that Jesus is our leader by example. You know, there are a lot of leaders that like to tell us what we need to do, but aren't necessarily very good at showing us the way that it should be done. Have you ever had a boss who was really good at giving orders and who was really good at doing your job, he thought, or she thought, but the reality was they didn't have the first clue about how it was to actually do the job that you're expected to do and the steps that are involved in it? Jesus is a leader that leads by example, meaning He knows what it is that He is expecting us to do because He has done it Himself. When you turn over to Hebrews chapter 5, in Hebrews chapter 5, there in the description that is given of Jesus, in verse number 7, the writer says, "Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death, and was heard because of His godly fear, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey Him." Isn't it interesting that here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, it talks about how that Jesus learned obedience. Jesus had to learn what it meant to be obedient. What it meant to follow the plan, to follow orders, to follow the rules. You know why he had to learn that? Because from all time at the beginning, he was the one giving the orders, not the one who was obeying them. Jesus learned what it meant to be obedient. You go back to Luke chapter 2, and there as you have that description of Jesus, it talks about how that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, it's also interesting when you read there Luke's accounts about the early days of Jesus, how Jesus learned to be obedient to his parents. Jesus learned obedience. And isn't it interesting that the Hebrews writer in Hebrews 5 follows that up in verse 8 with not just the fact that Jesus learned obedience, but verse 9 he says he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He learned obedience, and he became the author of eternal salvation to those of us who learn obedience toward him. We have a leader who leads by example. He expects us to be obedient because he was obedient. He's not asking us to do something that he's never had to do. He's not asking us to do something that he has never accomplished. But instead, he is asking us to do what he has already done. To live lives of obedience to him. You back up just a few verses in Hebrews to Hebrews chapter 4. And there the writer says in verse 14, beginning, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, we also don't have a leader who doesn't understand what it's like to go through our lives. He's been there, done that. He's seen the things that we struggle with. He understands the problems that we face and the hardships that we have to deal with because he's been through them. We have a leader who is not disconnected from his people, but instead he leads by example. But in the second place, not only do we have a leader in Jesus who leads by example, we also have a leader in Jesus who leads by training. You know, there are some leaders who are really not leaders so much as they are senders. They will tell you what it is that you need to do, whether you know how to do it or not, and then they will say, up to you to figure out how to get it done. That's not the way Jesus operates, is it? Jesus leads not just by example, but also by training, by preparation. I find it very interesting when you go over and you read the account of Jesus' work and of the things that he does in preparing his disciples, and you come to passages such as Matthew chapter 10, where in Matthew chapter 10 you have that listing in the first couple of verses of those 12 disciples who will become the apostles. They will become the ones who are sent out. And very early on in the ministry of Jesus, you know what he does? He sends them out two by two through the region of Palestine. They go out with a message. They go out with a purpose. But in Matthew chapter 10, he is also going to give them a bit of a speech before they go. He's going to tell them what it is that they can expect on the road, what it is that they are or are not supposed to take with them, what it is that they can be prepared to have to face because they're going to face it both now and in the future. You know what he's doing? He's training them. He is preparing them for what it is that they are going to need to do, not just now in this immediate moment, but so that when the time comes that they are on their own, as it were, that it is in their hands, they are ready to do the job. This is the apprenticeship of the apostles. They are learning their trade. Jesus believes in training. When Jesus sends out the apostles after His resurrection, in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18, He says, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. They've had 3.5 years of training, of preparation, of making ready. And then He says, "Go." But do you notice what else He says when He says, "Go"? He says, "Go, make disciples, and teach them, train them, prepare them, and send them out." Jesus leads by training. You drop down to 2 Timothy, and as the Apostle Paul writes there to his friend and companion in preaching the gospel, Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Timothy is going to be the second generation of those who have been trained and prepared to preach and to teach the gospel and to follow Jesus. You know what he's going to be expected to do? Get the next generation ready. Jesus leads by training. You know what we have before us this morning? It's the training manual. It is the training manual for the child of God. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of manuals that are out there. I started this past fall, or this fall, working as an official in junior high and high school athletics. And, you know, when you go and you sign up for that and you begin working with that, you know, they want you to go to a clinic. They want you to go to some training things to be able to help you to prepare for your job. But then they also send you this rule book. But when they send you the rule book, they also send you what they call a case book. The rule book is a line item listing of do this, don't do this, call this, don't call this, do this in this situation, and it's about 100 pages thick. And then you have the case book. You know what the case book is? The case book takes all of those rules that you just read about, and it gives you situations or game ideas of things that could happen or the way it might happen, and it tells you how you're supposed to apply the rules that you've just been given. You should call this. You shouldn't call this. If this really weird situation comes up, here's how you handle it. So what's the point? Do you realize that when it comes to God's Word, He could have just given us a rule book? He could have just given us a list of do this, don't do this, do it this way, don't do it this way, and on down it goes. But instead, what He did is He gave us a rule book and a case book all in one. He gave us the rules. He gave us the laws. He gave us the commands to train us and to prepare us for what we need to do. But He also gave us the examples. He gave us the lives of other individuals. He gave us the case studies of here's how you do it. Here's how you don't do it. Here's how you respond or how you don't respond. Do it like this person did, but whatever you do, don't do it like this person did it. God gave us a rule book and a case book all in one. He gave us the ultimate training manual. To teach us what it is that we need to know, to tell us what it is that we need to do, if we are going to follow His lead. But folks, if we don't read the training manual, if we don't know what it says, we can't follow the leader. If we don't know what it is that we're being trained to do, if we don't prepare ourselves to know what the manual says, we can't make the right decisions and we can't follow the right path. Jesus believes in leading by training, by preparation, by work. But you know, Jesus also believes in training by overcoming. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes that, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that," he says, "but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." You know, there are some people that believe that as long as I obey Christ, as long as I am one who is following the leader, nothing bad is ever going to happen to me. That's just simply not true. There are going to be things that happen in our lives. There are going to be failures. There are going to be downfalls. There are going to be obstacles that we are going to face. And they're not all going to be easy to overcome. And God's not going to take them all out of our way just because we're trying to do what's right. You know why? Because they're training for us. They're preparation for us. They are ones that are geared to helping us develop the character that we need to follow. Paul says that we rejoice in tribulations because we recognize that tribulations produce perseverance. When we overcome one obstacle, we're more ready to face the next one. We have more confidence in facing the next one. And that perseverance produces character. And character brings hope. Confident expectation, not wishful thinking. Jesus leads by training. But then in the third place, not only does Jesus lead by example, and not only does He lead by training, He also leads by command. You know, there are some leaders that carry with them the approach that they say very little, and they expect you to pick it up just from the things that they do. Then there are those who are really good at telling you what to do, but they're not very good at doing it themselves. It's the whole "do as I say, not as I do" idea. And then there are the good leaders that are able to do both. Jesus leads by example. But Jesus also leads by command. When you turn over to the book of John, there are many different statements that Jesus makes here in the book of John that illustrate this particular point. But turn with me to a couple of them for just a moment. In John chapter 8, we're all very familiar with verse 32. Everybody knows verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How many know verse 31 as well as they know verse 32? "And if you abide in my word," Jesus says, "then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Everybody likes to think they know the truth. But Jesus says, us being able to know the truth is dependent upon abiding in His Word and being His disciples. I have to know what He has commanded and be willing to do it before I can honestly state I know what the truth is. There are a lot of people that think that they know what is right, but they don't know what Jesus said, and they're certainly not following it. Jesus would make the statement to his disciples on the night of his betrayal in John chapter 14 and in verse number 15. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you are truly going to be mine, do what I say. You know, Jesus, as our leader, demands our obedience. There are a lot of people that envision Jesus as the leader that says, "You know what? Get behind me and I'll do everything for you and you don't ever have to worry about anything ever again. Just as long as you stay behind me, I'll take care of everything. You don't ever have to do anything." That's not what Jesus says anywhere in Scripture. As a matter of fact, the mentality of Jesus is, if you will come with me, we will get through this together. I will do my part, you've got to do your part, and I'll show you how to do it. That's the leadership of Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what it is I say. Not do whatever it is you feel like, and I'll take care of everything. When you turn over to 1 John, in 1 John chapter 5, there the Apostle John writes, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Do you realize that John says we don't really love God if we're not willing to keep His commandments? You know why? We won't follow His lead. We won't do what He said. And me just saying, "I believe in Jesus," and not being willing to do what He said isn't following His lead. It is not submitting myself to His commandments and to His authority. You know, when you go to turn on the different TV shows, I don't recommend a lot of them, I'll just be honest with you. But when you go to turn on a political thriller or something along those lines, you know what? You always have those in that particular setting where you have the leader and then you have the one that wants everybody to think he's following the leader, but really he's got his own plan and his own agenda and he's going to find a way to take things over for himself eventually. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that in this world. They want us to think they're following Jesus. They want us to think that they look to Him, but then by the things that they do and by the teachings that they present, what they're really doing is say, "Listen, I'm along with Him as far as that goes, but I've got my own ideas. And I got my own plans. And I'm going to do my own thing." That's not following the leader. That's trying to set yourself up as a leader for your own path. Jesus leads by command, and He expects those commands to be followed. Peter would put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse number 13. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" In the example that Jesus left, you follow His commands and you do what He said so that you can be as He is. Follow the leader. Be obedient children. Don't conform to the ways of the outside world. Don't conform to the paths that you formerly walked in your ignorance. But as He who called you, our Lord, is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Do we recognize Jesus as a leader. There are a lot of people who think Jesus said a lot of good things, and He certainly did some good things, but they don't look at Him as a leader. They look at Him as somebody that they can kind of submit themselves to and then do the rest of what they want to do. It doesn't work that way. So as we close this morning, I want to ask you one final question. Are you following the lead of Jesus? Are you listening to what He has to say, allowing Him to direct your life, to set the path for you to follow, the choices that you're going to make, the way that you're going to go? Or are you one who is living your life saying, I really like Jesus, but I'm going to go my own way when it suits me? How are we going to live? What are we going to do? Do you love Jesus as the leader that He is and are willing to be the follower that you should be? If you're outside of Christ this morning, the call goes out for those who are willing to believe on Him, that He is the Son of God, that He did die for our sins. For those who are willing to turn away from their sin, willing to confess His name before men, and willing to be immersed in water to have their sins washed away by the blood that was shed on their behalf. Will you do that this morning? Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've not been following the lead of the Savior. You've been trying to forge your own path. It won't work. It will not be successful. Will you come back this morning, repenting of your sins, getting your life back to where it should be, and to leave here today once again following the Lord? If we can assist you in any way at this time, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?